our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Do you want to be blessed by God? Amen. Seems like a silly question to ask. But most of you have been in church long enough to know that there are certain ways that you can put yourself under the blessing of God and other ways that you can put yourself under the cursing of God. And it seems like even though we say we want to be blessed, sometimes we make choices that would seem that we don't really want to be blessed. It's just like your kids and like most of you were growing up. You knew that if you did what mom and dad said and you did things with the right attitude, that things would go well with you. And you knew that if you didn't do the right things and you didn't do those right things with the right attitude, that it did not go well with you. And yet, some of you have made poor choices growing up. I just wonder real quick, how many of you, did mom or dad use the belt? Okay, how about a switch? How about just whatever mama could find? Anything, whatever was there, yeah. I'm going to tell you this, I grew up to hate willow trees. To this day, them stinking willow switches, man, they get you coming and going, don't they? Things will wrap around those legs and get you on the way back out too. Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing worse than mama saying, go get a belt. There's a long walk in there to dad's closet to get a belt and bring it back to mama. Amen. See, I was not very smart. I wanted to be blessed, and I knew that if I didn't do what mama said, things didn't go well. But I just sometimes, I was hard-headed and slow of hearing. And I don't know that I've changed much as a grown man. I know that God, thanks, Bill Don. I know that God has given us opportunity to put ourselves under the blessings of God. And so many times we remove those blessings on our own by not listening to what he has to say, of being slow of hearing. But tonight we're going to see someone who was incredibly, greatly blessed by God. One of the most blessed people in all of the scriptures. We're going to talk about her for just a little bit, and then we're going to find out that we can be rather blessed or even greater blessed above how she was blessed. And that's an awesome truth tonight. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 11, find verse 27. Luke 11, 27, a greatly blessed young woman of God and a greater blessing that's available to us today. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company, or just of the crowd, lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings that you make available to us through hearing and obeying your word. And Lord, please give us ears to hear tonight. Convict our hearts. And Lord, every time we listen to your word preached, every time we open your word to read and study it, I pray that you would put us in a position to be obedient, just simply, Lord, to trust and obey you. And Father, that your blessings would flow into our lives, our families, and into your church. And Lord, that those blessings would overflow into our community, and that you would use us to reach others with the glorious gospel. Thank you for all who have come tonight. Please bless your word now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And please be seated. I want to talk to you, first of all, about a greatly blessed young woman of God. Hold your place here in Luke chapter 11, but let's rewind to Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. Luke chapter 1, we're going to kind of do a quick survey here. Luke 1 and verse 26. This woman in the crowd who heard Jesus there in Luke chapter 11, who had listened to what he had to say and seen some of the things that he had done. She was in that company there and all the things that Jesus had said and done in that place. She speaks up over the crowd, which, by the way, that's a big deal in that day for a woman to speak up in a crowd like that. And she speaks up and basically says, your mother is blessed by God. The woman that bare you, she is blessed by God. And I imagine that she didn't know how true what she said was. I would imagine she didn't realize how true that was. Now look with me in Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. This lady that heard Jesus speaking and teaching and all that he said and did there in Luke chapter 11, she was part of that crowd that was there. She speaks up and says, your mama was blessed, woman of God. What a blessed woman to have brought this prophet into the world. But she had no idea, I am sure of it, she had no idea. But God himself sent an angel down to Mary before she had ever been with a man, when she was just engaged, in our terminology today, to Joseph. And look at what he said. Hail, thou that art highly favored. The angel says, God's grace is on you. And then he says, the Lord is with thee. Friends, could there be any better thing to be said of any of us? Could there be any greater blessing than to have God with us? What an incredible blessing. Listen, she was going to bring Jesus into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, but before she was ever, before the Holy Spirit ever came on her, before she was ever pregnant with Jesus, before he was ever born, the angel said, the Lord is with thee. She had God's grace on her. She had God's presence with her, and she had God's blessing on her. Blessed art thou among women. And you think about it with me for a second. Imagine all the women that had ever lived to that time, all the women who have ever lived after that time, all the women who were on the planet at that time, at that moment, there was one who was chosen by God to bring Messiah into the world. She was blessed among women. She was blessed among women. And when she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, she was trying to figure out what was going on. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, we know, and she knew when the name Jesus was given, Yeshua, that he would be a Savior. You're going to have a child, you're going to conceive a child, and he is going to be a Savior. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And in case you didn't get forever there, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You're going to have a son. He's going to be a Savior. He is going to be a king in Israel, but not just an ordinary king. He is going to be a king that reigns forever and ever. He's going to be a king and a Savior that has an eternal kingdom. Can you imagine that young lady was just, I don't know, dumbfounded? Man, this angel came down with a heavenly blessing, and it was like he gave her a drink out of a fire hose. I mean, it's like, that had to have been so overwhelming, everything that he said to her. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a son? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now it's all starting to come together. You're not just going to have a son by normal means. You're not just going to marry someone with a kingly lineage. You're going to bear a child that's going to be of the Highest. You are going to bring Messiah, the Christ, into the world. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't you rejoice in that? And sometimes things seem impossible, but nothing will be impossible. Mary's going, how can I have a son if I'm a virgin? How is that going to happen? And he said, well, let me just go ahead and tell you that Elizabeth, who was barren, it was impossible for her to have a child. Well, she's pregnant because nothing's impossible with God. And he gives this reassurance. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, I belong to God. And whatever he says, his will be done. You get that? What she said is, I belong to you, thy will be done. And the angel departed from her. Look at verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Listen, the angel said, Elizabeth's pregnant. And she said, I've got to go see this. So she came with haste. She hurried to go to Elizabeth's house, entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen. Man, Mary, the angel leaves, and she rushes to the hill country to Elizabeth's house. And as soon as she salutes her, she comes in and says, Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, John leaps in her womb. And she is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when she speaks the truth of God. You might say that she prophesied here is really what happened. As the Spirit filled her, she spoke the truth of God's revelation. And what an incredible thing. Man, Listen, we got four kids, and it was always so much fun when the babies got big enough, you could feel them move. Anybody else love that? Man, it's so awesome. I don't know how much fun it is for mom, right? There's bladders and other things in there that, you know, might be uncomfortable sometime, but I'm just telling you, it was an awesome thing. And sometimes the kids would just, it was like they were doing somersaults, right? Moms are like, yeah. All the dads look like happy. Yeah, it's so cool. And all the moms are like, mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that was like when the Word of God says that baby John leaped for joy? Man, just as a side note, it was mentioned in prayer to pray for the elections. And you ought to pray for leaders to be elected that will do away with this genocide, which is abortion.
Amen. Amen.
All through the scriptures, we see without a question, these preborn babies are individual living human beings that God had a plan for their lives.
Amen.
And millions have been cut short already this year. Dozens every month right here in the state of Oklahoma. And God help us to get some leaders that will stand up and defend these innocent lives.
Amen.
This baby leaped for joy. Notice what she says in verse 42. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She counted Jesus already to be the fruit of Mary's womb. Before anything ever happened, she counted him already here. Blessed is she that believed. Look at verse 46. I want you to hear Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You hear it? The angel said to Mary, "You are highly favored. You're blessed among women." Elizabeth says, "Blessed art thou among women." She does mention, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb," but she continues to lift Mary up, to exalt Mary, to give Mary this adulation and point this joy and praise to Mary. And I want you to look at what Mary does with all of it. All of the praise, all of the adulation that comes to her, she takes it, and she points it straight to the Lord. She didn't take any of it. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." There was not a woman ever to live who was blessed greater than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Everybody with me? There's not a woman who has ever lived to be blessed any greater than Mary, the mother of Jesus. And yet, she didn't take any praise to herself. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name." I have been blessed. From now on, people will call me blessed, but his name is holy. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. I want to tell you, this lady in the crowd in Luke 11, she had no idea, but we do see a greatly blessed young woman of God. Now, I want you to get that in your mind. I want you to fix it in your mind. Remember what we just read in Luke chapter 1. How blessed, how highly favored Mary was by God. Buddy, with me? You can fake it. Just nod your head. That'd be good. So we can move on. All right? Now, go back to Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. But he said, "Yea, rather." Now this phrase, "yea, rather," is an interesting phrase. It's used just a handful of times in the New Testament. It's used in Philippians 3 and verse 8 where it says, "yea, doubtless." So we get this idea that he says, yes, that's true, but. Yes, that's true, but rather. Yes, that's true, but let me give you something even better. So certainly he's not saying Mary isn't blessed, because certainly she was blessed. Yes, of course she was blessed, but let me give you something even more blessed. "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Seems over and over and over again, we come back to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, let me tell you about two men. The one is like someone who hears my word and doesn't keep it. He's like a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. The rains came down, and the floods come up, and the wind beats against it, and the house falls, and great is the fall. But the other man, the one who hears my word and keeps it, is like a wise man that builds his house on the rock. And the rain comes, and the flood rises, and the winds beat, but that house stands. For Jesus says you can build your life on a rock, so you will not be moved if you will hear my word and keep it. I have admonished you over and over again in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus says, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That first teach means to make disciples. And God has called us not only to proclaim the gospel to people, but to see people become real followers of Christ. We want to see people not only pray a prayer to accept Christ their Savior, but we want to see people become real followers of Christ. If I keep saying it, will you amen me eventually? I'm just begging you. Listen, we don't want people to just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and then go about their business. We want people to continue in His Word. We want to be real disciples, and we want to see other people be real disciples. So we teach, we make disciples, we preach the gospel, they receive the gospel, and then we admonish them to get baptized like Bobby Joe did this morning and like we've seen so many others in the past few weeks. My math may be off, but it seems like we've had a baptism something like 4 out of the last 5 Sundays. Praise God. Praise God. Who's next? That's all I can say. Who's next? There are others who need to be saved, others who need to be baptized, others who need to be a part of this church. And we want to see people take that step. Teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. I mean, we don't just make that up. I don't say that when we baptize somebody just because. It's what Jesus said to do. And then He says, teaching them all things that I have commanded. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Amen. It's one of those things, maybe it's not as big a deal as I make it, but I've heard that quoted my whole life, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded. And that's not what He said. He said, teaching them to observe all things. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to hear the Word of God and not obey it. When we hear the Word, we want to be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Listen, when you open your Bible every morning to read your Bible, because no Bible, no breakfast, right? All right. It's like 4 of you. We're gaining. No Bible, no breakfast. No read, no feed. We got to get in the Word of God before we fill our bellies. We need spiritual food before we need physical food. We need to be like Jeremiah, who esteemed His Word more than our daily food. Listen, we need God's Word. We need to love His Word. And so when you read your Bible every morning, you're seeking to know Him and to know His Word and to live out His Word. We're not just trying to make a check mark on our Bible reading schedule, are we? We're looking to learn, and we want to live out what we read in His Word. When you're faithful in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you hear the preaching, we need to have ears to hear, ready to hear, ready to understand, and ready to obey. We've got to have this desire. He says, if you hear the Word of God and do it and keep it. I couldn't read this. Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. It took me right back to Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. Luke 8, 19 through 21, you might remember this. Then came to Him His mother and His brethren, and could not come at Him for the press. So many people, they couldn't get to Jesus. And it was told Him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. So there's a bunch of people in the house, a bunch of people around the house. Jesus is teaching. His own mother and His brothers can't get to Him. So somebody comes in and says, Master Jesus, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. I want you to look at what Jesus says here in Luke 8, verse 21. And He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God and do it. Amen. Blessed is the womb that bare thee. Blessed is the woman that raised you up, that nursed you. Blessed is that woman, He says, yea, rather, blessed are those that hear the Word of God and do it. Here's your mom and your brothers. They're right outside. No, let me tell you who my mom and my brethren are. They're the ones that hear my word and do it. I just want you to see that Mary certainly holds a high place in Scripture. Certainly holds a high place in human history. And it's No surprise to me that some people have elevated her too high. There are those who worship Mary, who pray to Mary, who have deified Mary, who have tried to say that Mary was without sin. And that's not true. Mary was a sinner just like us. Mary doesn't want to be worshipped. She ought to be honored because she was blessed by God. So we need to see how high the Lord blessed her, how greatly He blessed her, and understand that there are greater blessings still for anyone that will hear and keep the Word of God. Isn't that good? We look into those scriptures, as James says, we look into the perfect law of liberty. It's like a mirror. And we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Because if we look into that perfect law of liberty, we look into the scriptures, and we see what manner of man we are, but we go away unchanged, we deceive ourselves. When we look into the Word of God and we see the truth, we need to conform to the truth. We ought to be changed by the Word of God. How many of you have opened your Bible on your own and read it and got convicted? Okay. How many of you have listened to preaching like this and you've gotten convicted? Okay. Now let's be honest right here. How many times have you been convicted by the Word of God? You knew something needed to change, and yet you walked away unchanged. And in the middle of the message, it's convicting. Right now, God's convicting you. Man, I don't study my Bible like I should. I don't pray like I should. I haven't been witnessing like I should. I got some sin in my life. I need to get right with Jesus. And I'm amazed sometimes how God's Spirit will take, even though the preacher's not talking about anything that you're dealing with, the Spirit of God just goes. Not in my mind. I have no idea. But God is just pricking your heart. And you're sitting there going, man, I need to get that right with Jesus. I need to get that right. I need to repent. I need to get right. And it's an amazing thing, because what we've done in the modern church age is we've given something called an invitation. We, at the end of the service, give you an opportunity to respond, because when God has convicted your heart, you ought to respond in obedience and faith. And how many times you've gotten that prick in your heart, but when the invitation comes, you just hold on to the back of the pew. And if you could just make it till the song's over, if you could just fight through that prayer at the end of service, then you can made it, and you can go on your way unchanged. Isn't that pitiful? But how many of us have done it? Listen, I ask you at the beginning, how many of you want to be blessed by God? It's pretty simple. If you want to be blessed by God, you need to hear His Word. Practically, we hear His Word by reading it every day. Practically, we hear His Word by being faithful to services just like this. Practically, we hear His Word by seeking out biblical preaching that we can listen to on our own. And listen, some of the stuff that's on the radio you can listen to is worth listening to, and some of it is garbage. So you need to be careful. But we have such an opportunity today. Listen, you can go back and listen to every one of the messages that have been preached from this pulpit for the past, I don't know how many years. That's a blessing. There are other great Bible preachers, faithful men of God who preach the Word, that you can get their podcasts and you can listen to them regularly. But we've got to put ourselves in a position to hear the Word. And we've got to make our mind up before we ever start to listen, before we ever start to read, by the grace of God, I'll do what He wants me to do. Hear it and obey it. It really is simple, isn't it? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This Bible, it's not a good luck charm. It's the living Word of God to be lived by. George Foreman was a world-class boxer. Some of you only know him by his grills. But before he made electric grills, he was an incredibly talented boxer. He wrote a book, God in My Corner, and the former heavyweight boxing champion wrote in 1974, "Before I went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave me a Bible to take along on my trip. He said, 'George, keep this with you for good luck.' I believe the Bible was just a shepherd's handbook, probably because the only verse I knew was, 'The Lord is my shepherd.' But I was always looking for luck, so I carried that Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms, so now I added the lucky Bible to my collection of superstitious items. After I lost the fight," he said, "after I lost the fight, I threw the Bible away. I never even opened it. I thought, the Bible didn't help me win, so why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply from owning it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe what it says. Since then, I've come to understand that the Bible is my roadmap, not my good luck charm." Listen, friends, we have a Bible. Just because you own 15 of them, it's not going to do you any good unless you read it and heed it. Study it and obey it. Hear it and keep it. Tonight, as we stand together, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. While I was preaching, I trust God's Spirit convicted your heart about something. Maybe your prayer life, your Bible study, your witness, some unconfessed or unrepentant sin in your life. I have no idea. But I know God's Spirit works in the preaching of His Word. This invitation is a time for you to respond. It's not a time for you to stand there and wait for the amen to be said so we can go home. It's a time to do business with Jesus. If there's anything that you need to get right with Him, any decision you need to make for Christ, I plead with you to come tonight. You need to get saved, repent of your sin, and trust Him as your Savior. You know tonight you're not born again, and you need to be born again. Come and trust in Him. You're saved, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism, and you know, I need to get baptized. I need to be a part of this church. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, but God is leading you to be a part of this church. Whatever it is, if there's anything that's not right with you and the Lord tonight, He loves you. He gave everything for you. And He wants to bless you if you'll hear and do His word tonight. Let's sing.